Welcome to episode 3 of the School Free Life podcast. I'm so excited to have Hayley Tialisa joining me today to talk about her life, free schooling, raising her babies outside the system, decolonizing spirituality, and everything else that comes up in this conversation. Welcome, Hayley. It's so awesome to have you here.
Gosh, I'm so excited about this conversation. Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
It's an absolute pleasure. So, would you like to introduce yourself and speak about a little bit about what's true for you today, but also what you do, your work, your preschooling journey? We'd love to hear
Yes.
everything that
Oh my gosh,
you
that's I'm gonna concise it.
do. Yeah.
So my name is Hayley Tialisa. I am of Māori descent, so I whakapapa, or my genealogy is back to Aotearoa, New Zealand. And within that place is where my culture lies and where my whenua lies, and where a lot of my journey starts. I'm also Cook Island, and just speaking to all my Indigenous lineage, because as we kind of speak in this podcast, I know that they will probably jump right in. So I just want to acknowledge them within this space. I also am Cook Island, and that's another little island right next to New Zealand. And then I also whakapapa back to Hawaii. So those are my lineages and my Indigenous spaces. And in terms of what I do and where I've been, oh my gosh, there's so many things to say. But I have done all the things. It's crazy to be where I am in terms of free schooling, unschooling, all those beautiful labels, because I have started in the education system, was there, from 5 to about 26. So I have done it all, gotten 3 degrees, which still is wild because I use none of them. And then I also have been very much so in religion as well, which is also wild and crazy, because of where I'm at currently. But in terms of my work and what I do, I also am in a space in which I teach people about decolonial work, decolonizing spirituality and speaking to that. But also I do healing sessions. And I do readings and mediumship readings for people as well. And I've been doing that, I think, for the last 2 and a bit years, but spirit and all of that was my whole life, which was very, very hard. And so a big reason why my children are unschooled or whatever the label is, sometimes even that label, I'm like, gosh, there's so much more going on, but I love to use it because right now that's the one that resonates. But the reason why my children and I live the way that I do, which is pretty much completely away from the system, is because of how I lived in it so much and how it destroyed my life, and it wasn't until I left it that I was able to breathe and to gain sovereignty over my own life, and to also help my children now get that same sovereignty. And I think it's really important to understand that we naturally, as a society, colonize each other, but then as parents, without knowing it, we colonize our children. And so part of unschooling and part of all of that is to not colonize them, is to give them back their sovereignty. And so I think there's a quote, one of the people that I love when I first started looking up unschooling was, I think, a Kai Richards, maybe. I think I can't say her name. Oh my gosh, I love.
Oh, she wrote Raising Free People.
Ah, oh my, I love you. If you
Yeah.
hear this, I love you.
Yeah. And for those that are listening, get that book.
Yeah.
Listen to that audiobook. It's incredible.
Yeah, and she just also just puts unschooling and decolonization into the same space, and she gets it, and she's a beautiful black woman. And I think one of the quotes that she said was, freedom is individual and liberation is collective, and that always is just wow, right? So I don't know if it sums it up a little bit, but there's a little intro, and that probably is my intention, just to create four daughters. I have four daughters who I am just like, you are sovereign, my little girl, and I will not be colonizing you in this lifetime. That's a little intro.
Incredible. It's just such powerful words. I got goosebumps as you were speaking to that because it is such powerful work that we are doing as parents. And it can seem just normal, when you're living your normal day-to-day life and you're living this life outside of the school system of unschooling. living a spiritual life, it's normal, right? But when we zoom out and actually see what we're creating as a family and how that is, we're co-creating a reality with our children where we are sovereign beings, where they're going to be sovereign beings. It's actually so powerful and so potent, and that healing ripples into the collective in ways that we can't even imagine.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I think I had to almost just stop myself from crying there because of just how powerful that is. I don't think people understand what they're doing, and that's okay, And I think that's why unschooling is so much about like healing the parent. Like sitting there and being like, okay, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you making them read like this? Why do you need a time frame on all these things? Like, why are you teaching them timetables? Is it because of someone else? Like, why are you upholding this system that benefits no one? Right?
Absolutely. And that detangling is like so massive. I just come up against it like a lot less as I go along, but it's crazy how much is in there, and I have to stop myself sometimes and remember that this thought system, this thought pattern that's coming up, it actually doesn't belong to me. And it's my children's life, is that's their normal, is to live outside of that. But you're so right. It's the work of the parents that's the most important. And I guess that brings me to my first question. How has your, I guess, deschooling journey look for you, and how has that unraveling been for you, and how does your day-to-day with your children look whilst you're doing this incredible work of deschooling yourself? Because that's so big.
Yeah, man, that's a good question. Gosh, it's interesting, right? Because we don't work off a routine. I don't know how you are, but like some days I wake up and I'm like, what day is it? Because of this, I actually have no idea, right? But oh, that's a big question. I think one of the things that I really wanted to say that I don't think is said a lot within maybe unschooling and free schooling communities is maybe this idea of spirit led, right? So in my home, and when I say that term, what I'm meaning is that the language of the soul is a big part of my children's lives. So, and if people maybe do not understand that, you do because you have spoken this language your whole life. It's just that when in my within my home, it's not just about helping my children trust and move within a space that they understand and I support and I guide them. It's about me as a parent decolonizing spirituality so that I can give them the spirit-led life in which they're able to be within their own spirit and everything else around them. So, oh, when you're asking about this, how do I even start?
It's a big one, isn't it?
It is. So, for example, I grew up in my culture. So, in Te Ao Māori, being able to speak to the spirit world was very normal. I grew up around like this is my grandmother, and I spoke to her. It wasn't until I jumped into a school system or anything else that I thought it was wrong. It was only then. And when I was young, I would watch her come into the room like she was another person, and I would say, "Grandma, what are you up to?" Right. And so when my child, although I was in the education system and was colonized and I pushed that away, when my child started to experience that and I saw it happen to her, I realized then, like, oh, like, what do I do? Like, do I suppress this the way I had to suppress it for myself and then probably ruin her life a little? Or do I relearn this language, trust this journey so that she can have that? And continue that. And so every child that I've had, I've spoken to them in this space before I ever got to know them. And I think it's so important that people understand that this language is their first language, and that the only reason that they're not speaking it anymore is because we have stopped speaking it as parents. And every client that I have, my friend, they say that within normal society, academic success is at the sacrifice of emotional well-being. Yeah. And so what this also does is that by being in that space, you have to disconnect from this language. And every single client that I have, every single person that I come to who is very successful, right? They have all this money, they come to me to relearn that language. That's why they're with me. right? They want to know, like, why am I having this dream? They want to know what their body's saying to them. They want to learn how to trust their bodies, learn their natural rhythm. They want to do all these things. They want to connect to the spirit world, be in touch with nature, have that experience. And the only reason that they are unhappy despite this academic success is because they do not have this. And so the fact that hours and hours every day, my friend, I am sitting there reteaching parents how to decolonize spirituality, not just for them, because oh my gosh, they need it. We all need this. But
Absolutely.
to help that little kid who is 1 year old trying to speak this language, is interacting with everything around them through energy. Like that is them, you know, and I think when the reel that you had shared on my group on our story was about a bunch of different things, but that language that speaking back and forth that a mother has with their child of just like, I already know what you're saying, right? And then obviously mothers, we throw it away like it's normal, and obviously it's not because the father's in the room going, how did you know that?
Totally.
How did you figure that
Yeah,
out, right?
my children even say that to me. My son's like, "How did you know that I was about to do that thing?" And I'm like, "I know." He knows I know. He looks at me. He's like, "She knows." And I'm like, "Yeah." And it's innate, but it's always there, but it's been stomped out of us. We've been lured away by all of these systems that have, I kind of see it as like neon lights, like, hey, there's this great thing that you'll achieve great success by following this thing. And we get lured away by these things that have become normalized in our society from our innate connection to our spiritual self, spiritual realms. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, just the essence of our being, whatever that means to us. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in saying that, my friend, it's just like, you know, in my culture and a lot to, and why like people speak so much about decolonization is because I believe, and especially in the work that I do and when I sit with other adults who are in, you know, trying to have this conversation, is the soul is lost until you reconnect to them, you know. And so when people are coming to me with like, hey, I have this and I have this, and I can be like, well, do you have this and this? Have you reconnected to this and this and this? And normally it's no, I haven't, no, I haven't, no, I haven't. And I was like, yes, your soul is still lost. Like, and all it takes is for you to reclaim this. And so yeah, I think that that's a big part. So when, okay, go back to the question, Haley. So when you were speaking about what my life looks like, when I'm with my children, the first thing that we do is that we are up in the morning, we're looking at the moon, we're trying to understand like what she's asking of us. My children have a deep connection with Mother Earth because I believe that she is the creator, not this man in the sky, which is okay if that's what other people believe, but it's not how we see it. And then I go outside, my children speak to her. They know how to speak the language of the soul and therefore can create that, you know, normal interaction with the world around them. So during that, we have a lot of conversations about the spirit world. We do a lot of exercises to help them learn the language of the soul consistently. I have conversations about my daughters about what did you dream about last night? And I will literally base my whole day based off that dream.
I love that so much. I love that so much. It's so powerful because they can really just lean into a space where they feel seen in their dreams. They can interpret their dreams and they can expand upon what messages they're getting when they're sleeping. That's everything, seriously.
It's so, my friend, it's so beautiful. Yeah, like my daughter had a dream yesterday about how she what is it? She had a dream about some octopus. Yeah, so we looked it up, we looked at what it meant, and so then we based our whole day about it. When my children have dreams of snakes, which happens a bunch, then I know that there's either an argument around the corner with me and hubby, or we are gonna have an issue come up every time they're right. So, you know, and so that's one of the things that I do is that I make sure that my children understand that what they're speaking is everything. That what they're feeling, what their intuition is everything. When my children are tired and that natural rhythm hits, you know, they're just like, I'm tired. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. One of my biggest things is to help my children trust their body, to give trust where they go and what they want to do, but to make sure that that language is very much spoken.
And prioritized as well, because that's the opposite of what the school system offers, or normalizes is that we need to just keep doing these things and ignore our body's cues and ignore our intuition. There's not very much space for dreaming or rest or basic human functions in those spaces. And it's like a no-brainer to us, but it's actually to the status quo. It's quite radical. People don't remember how to rest or even know how to rest without feeling shame or guilt or any of those things. And to come home to that, obviously, it's normal for your children, but for us as parents to come home to that, often it's just even allowing ourselves to rest is a whole process in itself. So what you're sharing is like everything you've spoken to, I've gotten little goosebumps because I'm like, that's it, that's it. That's what we're creating for this earth, is a generation of humans that are connected to themselves and their body and the spirit and spirit and rest and all of those things. It's so simple, but
It is so simple. And so
yeah.
then I've like walked into the unschooling spaces and I felt connected, in that journey of just trusting your child and understanding that when does trust ever happen? Is it only when they're obedient? No, trust is an inherent right as a human being. Like you get it off the bat, right? And so I think the part that I think extends and maybe where like I've probably gone is in the need to like reconnect, not just like heal from the school system, but reconnect to spirituality in this space, because I think it is probably the thing that a lot of people are missing, especially when children are having nightmares or when children are like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing this, or and parents are just like, what the heck do I do? And I'm like, well, why are they scared? They shouldn't be scared.
Yeah, and it's often those things are pathologized. It's like, oh, my child is having night terrors, or my child is having this intense experience. And the go-to is to go and seek support from the medical system. And then it's pathologized. And there's no, yeah. And it's, in my community here, I've met many parents who have been on that journey of, going into that system and having their child's experience pathologized and then disconnecting and seeing such a radical difference in the way that their child experiences life because they've found a way to connect to their child, to spirit, and their own flow as a family. Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, what are we doing?
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And, sometimes I sway between thinking that things are changing and then I step out of the bubble. I'm like, oh my God.
Yes, the bubble is
Yeah.
real, right? Like sometimes I'm like, wow, our bubble is intense. Because then when I go to kind of like interact with others, like within, our families or wherever, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. But
Like
this is
what?
totally. And this is the power of sharing. I love the way that you share through the content that you create because it's you share in a way that, and we spoke about this earlier, that does it lands with people from all walks of life in a way that supports people to kind of question what they're doing. And it's not even spoken. It's an energy that you're sharing with the world. And I think it's that energy that people it's supporting them to awaken. It's like, ooh, I'm feeling something. I've got to follow those breadcrumbs, and that's really powerful. And in terms of unschooling, I feel that the way that you share in that way, it's supporting parents to really question the way that their schooling has impacted their parenting. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
definitely.
so another question that I have for you is, I guess you've kind of already touched on this, but maybe if you'd like to expand the way that preschooling or unschooling terminology is strange. I say school-free life because that was taking the word school out of it kind of felt right for me. But I mean, it's all relevant. How does that support yours and your family's spirituality and your connection to your culture?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. Okay, these questions are so amazing. My gosh. Okay, so So I think what unschooling is also just decolonizing, yeah, like it really is, right? So by being out, by kind of learning to almost decolonize your relationship with the school system and question that, you also are removing yourself from one system, and so you're kind of looking at all the other systems, yeah. And so the way that it's kind of supported my family spiritually to be able just to remove myself from that, and I removed us from that, and also religion as well, very early on. I remember when I was like in a church, and for anyone that's in religion, my heart is with you as you navigate that. It is a journey and it is a tough one. But when I was in religion, I remember the first time I saw someone try and tell my daughter that she had to say this, even though she did not mean it. And I think it was along the lines of, like, I have a testimony that this is what it is. Yeah. And I remember looking at her going, that's not true. And so I went and told this teacher at the time, like, she will not be saying that because she does not believe that. Yeah. And she was just like, oh my gosh, why would you be just even doing that within here? And I was like, and so it took me, like, as soon as you see your child in the same system that effed you up, that's when you start to go, hold up, right? So I love the fact that children come in and just make us question, because the only thing that's really going to make us do that is a little person that is looking at us going, hey, like, is this the right way to go, mom? Right? And so just the, what is it, the responsibility of that, you know, when you look at that little human. And so when I saw that happen, I was like, and we're out. And I had been in that since I was 16 to about 25. So the fact that I had left was just amazing. Right. And so after that, and then obviously decolonizing them away from the school system, the way that it was, what happened naturally was that we went back to our culture. And so within that space, what it's been able to do, unschooling, is help us to learn how to reconnect to that and how to question spirituality, and how we want to move forward and what we want it to look like. So I kind of sit with my children often, and I will make them, oh my gosh, make is not the word. I will ask them if they are willing to kind of like heal. So we have a lot of conversations about how to heal the body energetically, which is something that we've done in my culture. It's been passed. So everything that I see, right, in New Age spirituality, is my culture, is what my people have done, right? And a lot of my people have disconnected from it because of the colonized system of religion, which, yeah, I mean, if there's any tool that really hurt my people in a way that I don't even know if we can kind of regroup, it would be religion. You know, it is one that it's hard. So trying to kind of help my children get back into that space of reconnecting to healing, learning how to do that within the home. Okay, there's so many
I
things.
know we need a few different, we need more episodes.
Yeah, but that my culture has been our forefront. Like, that has been our guide, and not the colonized idea of our culture, like the traditional ways of our culture. So learning how to heal each other, learning how to do elemental work, and I don't know if that's something that people do, and if that's something that our children do, but they naturally go to nature. But in my culture, we moved elements. Like, we were there. Like, we would sit underneath the sky, and when rain would come, we would say, not today. And we would sit in a circle and we would move it. And I've been in circles where women have done this. So, you know, I think the term woo-woo drives me insane, right? Because what it does is it puts a colonized view on something so sacred. It is not woo-woo, it
It's
is.
not. It's real.
And so my children think it's real. I think my child was at a park with someone, and my daughter was, you know, sitting there like trying to connect to the element of water. And the girl was like, what is she doing? She was like, she's moving water. Like, moving.
And to the status quo, that would be seen as woo-woo. Oh, that's just make-believe, but it's actually real. And children know that.
Oh, and my
It's
friend, That when you say that, like I think that's where probably some clarity comes into my mind as I rant, is that everything, every myth, every legend, every fairy tale that I thought was what my culture was just some nice stories, is very real. Very real. And so in my culture, our myths and our stories, because we're an oral culture, most Indigenous cultures are, those stories are our compass and is our map in our family. So when it's saying connect to this, okay, also the fact that we have Ngā Atua, which is like everything has a spirit. So there are many gods and goddesses in those spaces. So my children know every god and every goddess and every name for the fire, every name for the water, and they connect to everything. And in my culture as well, before we ever introduce ourselves to anybody, we tell them, my name, my mountain is this, my river is this, my Waka is this. Like, we are telling the people before we even get to our name where our land is. So when my children sit on the mountain that they belong to, they are not just sitting with the mountain, they are sitting with themselves. So everything that my ancestors writ down or spoke to us was real. And that's something that needs to be understood, is that we are decolonizing from this and reconnecting to what is real, not what it's trying to overpower or take power from us. And as you reconnect to this, you are reconnecting to something that is collectively for everybody. So yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just trying to work out what to say. Your words are so powerful, and I mean, as a white person, I feel that in my body, but I don't know what that's like. I don't know my ancestral lineage. It's so far, but I feel what you're saying in my body, to know that you are that mountain, to know that you are that fire, to and that you're not a separate being. It's everything. It is everything. And to speak to you and hear that you're raising four beings that know that is everything. So, yeah, thank you so much for saying that.
We are having so much fun.
We
We are
are.
having so much fun.
It's, and I think that, in the context of unschooling, no matter who you are and where you're from, when you're on this path, that is what you're evoking in your children. That is what you're protecting in your children, no matter who you are and where you're from. And this is the work. It's not just about not going to school. It's about connecting and supporting and protecting your child's connection to their being, to what is, so that they can discover or be with who they are for their whole entire life. And this is the foundation. These are the foundational years, and this is when they are really truly, I don't even know how to say it. It's so hard to find the words sometimes when you're doing this work, because it's so much of it exists in the unspoken.
Within the feelings, within. So yeah, that's why when we had decided to speak, I was like, man, how do I put words? How do I put words?
And I think that that's a really, I mean, that's a great conversation as well, because in the schooled mindset, through the schooled mindset, it's all about words. It's all about the science. It's all about proving. It's all about testing. It's all about understanding things on a very linear, in a very linear way. And there's not much space for the unspoken. There's not much, there's no space for the unspoken. Let's be real. There's no space for the mystery. And when you observe a child or an adult who hasn't had that connection to their being disrupted or fractured, you see it. You can see the unspoken all around them. It's in their auric field, it's in their essence, and it's innate. We can return to that as parents, I believe. It's not easy.
It's not. It's not. Let me be clear. After all the things that I've said, let's be clear. The hardest part about unschooling is unschooling ourselves. Is me, like, even just in every part of my life, just going and conditioned and colonized, colonized, you're colonized here, and then letting go. The hardest thing that I'm finding, even with clients or interaction with this journey and me and my husband, is letting go. Gosh, the things you got to let go of.
Yeah, and dancing that dance between existing in your family flow I like to say family aura. I guess
Oh,
that's
that's a
like a,
beautiful word. Thank
yeah, we,
you.
my, the thing that we do with our family is that we speak about our auric field a lot and what that looks like. And we get our kids to visualize that. And is it feeling strong today? Is what can we do to keep it strong and keep it protected? Because, you know, it went, when a family, you know, when someone's going out of the house all the time or off to school and the family separated all the time, their auric field is like almost non-existent. And you see that, you know. But when we're together and we're thriving and we're doing what lights us up, I see our auric field is really strong.
Beautiful. Good
Yeah,
job. Everybody take note of that.
that's the
Okay.
way
Really
that we
like that.
that's the way that we like to describe it in like to visualize it in our family. And I don't even know where I was going with that. I totally just went on a tangent, as I
Love
do.
it though. That was
But
good.
it was meant to come for some reason. I've totally lost my track of thought, but that's okay. You've kind of already touched on it, but oh, that's where I was at. Okay, it's come back. How do you do that dance between protecting your family's field and being together and living life in the way you do and interacting with this consumerist, capitalist, patriarchal culture? That it's a dance, and it can be really difficult for a lot of unschooling and preschooling families to navigate that space.
Yeah, okay, let me see. You know what? Like, my daughter's just gotten into sports. And obviously, if you are kind of within the unschooling realm, you're kind of going, oh, but like, what does that structure look like? How is that? You know, it can be quite similar to the school in terms of performative, right? But that girl loves sports. Like, oh my gosh, she loves it, right? And so I trust her and I'm like, girl, get in there. But I've also been confronted with, okay, how do I interact with other people? What do I watch for? Like, there's going to be some patriarchal, there's going to be some other things. And then can my daughter like navigate that? And so that's where we're currently in, like trying to be like, okay, our bubble's so sweet, but when you get out there, can you navigate it? And she hasn't had any issues come up. It's just me. Right? Because they're fine as always. And so I've had to kind of release control around what other people are doing. And if people are, no one's really asked me anything, if I'm being honest. Maybe I need to do more socializing. But normally when I'm having a conversation with someone, they love this conversation.
Awesome.
Right? Like, I don't know if you've had that, but I just like sit down with someone, I'm like, I do this, and they're just like, oh my gosh. And then we're just like, so if I'm being honest, my friend, I haven't got there yet.
Great. That's great. That's such a great sign that things are shifting and that people are more open to this type of lifestyle.
Yeah, we went to the mountain the other day and we told a guy and he was like, I freaking love that. And he sat there trying to take notes. You know, so I know that if like we are shifting as a collective into the space, right? Even my parents, they just, even though they can't do it right now based on where they're at, they're just like, babe, I love this so much. You know, so I don't know where I am, but people seem to be okay with it.
That's so great. I'm finding I'm having similar conversations with people, and I don't have too much, you know, judgment, and I don't really care too much, but I know that there are a lot of people out there who are wanting to lean into this way of life and preschool their children, but they do come up against, I guess, friction from their community. But like you said, a lot of it is actually just friction within themselves, because when you're unapologetic about it, then that doesn't matter. That just falls away. But there is that in-between space, I guess, for a lot of people when they do make that decision. It's like redefining their life, finding their people, because maybe a lot of the people in their life have fallen away, or you know, it's a big process for a lot of people. And
I wonder if you've had this situation of just like there's a lot of people that I've had to disconnect from, and not in a, like a big way, but just being like, okay, and that does happen. I think there is a lot of interaction with people who are questioning that. But I think if we're courageous and we just move a little bit more forward, and we're able to just be like, hold, I think that's why when we're talking, we don't care because we've gathered enough information, we've created enough structure, or just enough of like how we work that we're so confident. I think in the beginning, it's like, oh, like, you know, you're kind of watching, like, I don't know, I'm going this way. Like, research more. The more information you get, the more podcasts that you listen to, the more your heart feels the need and the love for this, you'll be fine the next time another person comes around to ask you a question. Now people don't
Absolutely.
even ask me. They just go, God, I wish I could do that. And I'm like,
Yeah.
it's okay. When your time comes, you'll be ready. When your time.
And the more you chip away at it, the more you chip away at it, the more you question your programming or your conditioning and detach. You don't have to go into a whole process around why something happened or you can just acknowledge it and detach. And it takes you a step closer into living that unapologetic unschooling life. It's liberating, and that's what the it's Al is it Alak? I think that's her name.
Wow, gosh,
Alak.
again, love you again.
That's back to what you the quote from her that you said at the start. It's unschooling as liberation work, and it's not just liberating for the family, it's liberating for the collective. It's such powerful work.
Really.
So I guess to follow on from that, what, if you have any, what advice would you give to families who are starting out from your perspective and the way that you live your life? Because a lot of people give advice from statistics and this was, that kind of mindset. But from a spirit-led unschooling mother, what are some tools or some advice that you would give to some families who are just starting out?
Oh, I love this. Oh, my quiet is up with these questions. Thank God.
I'm channeling them through your energy. It's
It's so good. It's so good. But I'm like, gosh, it's really making me think. Oh, my goodness. I think advice that I would give, be honest. Like, just be honest about your journey. Like, be honest about what your life has been like. Be honest about, are you in tune with your body? Are you reconnected? Be honest about whether or not you're colonized, whether or not you are colonizing others. And I think a lot of people find it hard because they don't want to detach from what makes them feel safe. You know, I find a lot of people in this space probably have felt detached from that system the whole time. It's the people who like somehow did really well in it, you know, like they. And I think not well in the sense of being connected to self, well in the fact that they knew how to make it work for them. I'm someone that it could have never worked for. I don't even know how to read someone and follow what they want, right? My body doesn't even know how to do anything else but what feels good to me. So when someone's telling me to go this way, I physically will get sick. You will get depressed. It's not even possible. And I think that that's the issue with a lot of people is they're like, well, I'm doing what you're saying. I just get sick. My husband did very well in that system, like at least physically outside of himself. Now he's probably the one that's does is the hardest to unschool, right?
Interesting.
Because he always says like, I just assimilated so well, babe. I did so well. And so we find when me and my daughters are all like trying to navigate healing, we're like, Dad, are you all right? Right? Because he's the one having a hard time detaching because he did feel like he benefited from it and his rose-colored eyes were very rose-colored. I was not rose-colored, not even once.
And I think that's something that, a lot of people realize when they start their deschooling journey is that they've actually seen their whole journey, people that performed well, that they actually saw it through rose-colored glasses, and they actually also received a lot of trauma through having to perform and wear that mask every single day. And that it's actually may have even taken them further away from themselves that somebody that didn't perform in that way.
100%. And so I think with my husband, and when he listens to this, I want to let you know I love you. But with him, I think I think it messed him up the most. It messed him up the most. And he says it every day. Like it messed me up so much because he trusted in the system so much that he lost such a huge disconnection from himself. And it's almost like trying to find himself. Whereas, you know, with us, it's been okay, a little bit easier. So, yeah, that would be one. Don't even know what I
It's all perfect. It's all going to land with people who are listening. I have no doubt about it.
So that would be probably one of the big ones, just be honest. And then just think about your babies. Like, just think about is it important for you that they trust themselves? Is it important that they listen to their spirit? Like, is it important for you in those
Yeah.
spaces? And I think at the end of the day, I think I had a conversation with a mother the other day, and she just sat with me and she said, like, the thing that's motivating me is this child.
Yeah.
You want to look after yourself when you're younger, but when you get that baby, you're just like, let me question every little thing. Isn't it crazy that the best thing to do for yourself is now to question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Question.
Absolutely. Or you end up just following along on this like narrow pathway that's been created by somebody else that has nothing, no relevance to the truth of who you are or your children. It's like
My
one or the
God.
other. We're at the point where it's just like one or the other. I wanted to go back to something you said before because maybe some of the folks listening along might not fully understand what it means to colonize another person. So as parents, as adults, walking around, cruising through life, what are some ways that we colonize each other? And how, what are some ways that we might colonize our children?
Okay, so like I love that. Okay. When we take, so I think we can all just go back to sovereignty. Yeah, like sovereignty. When, okay, gosh. I think for one of the things that just quickly comes to my mind is not having a child's input. Like just simply thinking that they have no idea what they're doing, that you know exactly what they need and where they should go. That's colonized. Yeah,
Yeah.
like just in general, that's what colonization is that people thought that they were superior to another, that the power dynamic, it's just, if we're just taking away the word colonization, we're just talking about power.
Yeah.
We're taking that concept of power out of your parenting.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's so
Yeah.
when someone's saying, like, how are you colonizing your children? You got to understand that you guys are a partnership.
Yeah.
Partnership, not a power dynamic. And I think it's real simple. Like, is your child getting enough input about like where they should go, or is it just based on what you think is best for them? I think we're trying to move into a new world of trusting that every human, every individual knows exactly what the heck they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's so obvious when you look at it through the lens of the system how much that lures a child away from trusting their intuition or trusting what they're doing. And you see it, you know, they literally a child needs to ask permission to go to the toilet.
Come on, that's wild. I tell my
Yeah.
husband, thank goodness my children never ended up in school because they never did.
Yeah.
I said to him, because I would just be so bothered. Like, sorry, what do you mean? My child needs to ask you, who are you? Did you give birth to them? Like,
Exactly.
I
Yeah.
don't, how did you all of a sudden become important?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I don't, it still blows my mind.
Yeah, and that hierarchical kind of structure is dissolving. It's fading away. And I'm seeing it in so many different areas, not just in unschooling, but so many different areas. And maybe we're returning a bit slower than I don't know. So it changes every day. Sometimes I'm like, wow, things are really shifting. Other days I'm like, oh my God, hurry up. But it's, I guess it's non-linear, right? And that's life is non-linear. And that's something that children innately know. They don't even have to think about it. You know, they just do what feels good for them moment to moment. And I like to say, you know, we're co-creating our days together, or I'm growing with my children, and I have days where I totally feel like I've fucked up for sure. But those days are often the most, always the most powerful teachers because they show me where I still have work to do. And I'm sure every unschooling parent, including yourself, can resonate with that because it's, yeah, it's not, like I've said many times in this episode, it's not easy work. And I think that's the thing that might put people off because it feels like you're alone out in the dark, paving this new path for your family and for your own lineage.
Gosh, beautiful to say that, eh? Like you are paving a new way. And that's why you have moments like that where like you're like, oh my gosh, they learned nothing. Or you think they learned nothing.
You think they know? Yeah, totally.
Right? And you've gone back into that mindset of like, oh my gosh, do they know enough? Have I taught enough?
Yeah.
Yeah, those days are hard. But you keep going and you kind of push that aside. So I love that you speak to that because that's real.
It is real, and I feel like I've spoken to parents who have been on this path for decades, and it still comes up for them. I feel like the work is never ending because we were schooled, or our minds were colonized from such a young age through those formative years. You know, even the way we were born, is a part of our imprinting when it comes to that. So it's not something that's like you get to a certain point and then you're free. It's ongoing. And I think that I love how you share through the content that you create about that the healing is forever. And it's okay to be healing and be unschooling and doing the liberation work simultaneously. And yeah.
Yes, thank you. I love that. I think there was one thing that you had said, if that's okay to kind of speak to, because it keeps coming to my mind, where you had spoken about decolonial work, or like spoke to the fact that like you were white and you were like, I don't know what that feels like to be connected the way that you're speaking to being connected, and all the things. And I love that you said that, because it kind of brings back to the space of like we're trying to all come to a space of understanding each other's things, understanding each other's hardship in the world, and then coming together and kind of ending up in the same space. You know, that land connection, that spirit connection, it's for everybody. But there is a way to kind of get there where like we also don't hurt anybody,
Yeah.
right? And so that's why when we're unschooling, the thing I love about unschooling is it starts the decolonizing. I think a lot of us are getting comfortable with unschooling, and that's a great start because it's like, okay, there's more. And so when you're speaking about this part of connecting back to, I think a lot of people who are white love this and resonate with the spirituality. Yeah. And like, I always am like, yes, come, right? But I think what unschooling does is it starts this mindset of like questioning, it starts this disconnecting from the system. And then it also helps us to kind of decolonize other things. This is another thing to decolonize. And so this is also everybody's. But there is a process of also decolonizing that space as well before we get there, right? And then going around and kind of assessing like who has gone through what and all those things. I just think people who are white may feel like that that isn't theirs to kind of come and grab. And I think it's important to kind of understand that it is, but there needs to be a process. And I think that's the reason why I'm saying that is because it is important that
It is
people feel
important.
this.
I love that
People
you're
feel
speaking
this.
to this. I
Yeah.
actually had a question that was exactly about this, but
Oh,
so you're already answering it because yeah, it is the decolonizing process for white people is so much about taking accountability. So there's asking the questions and doing the work and taking accountability before
wow.
you get to the thing. And yeah, it's obviously traumatic and really hard for Indigenous people beyond what we can even understand. But it's so hard to put words to, I suppose. The question was, what advice as an Indigenous woman, or what are your thoughts on how white families who are unschooling can go through these processes without doing further damage and without hurting Indigenous people?
Oh, Amy. Okay, so we're on the same wave.
Yeah, I think about this so much.
Love that. Oh, that's a beautiful question. Let me just kind of breathe into that because I feel like that's a big conversation. And if you kind of are listening to it, just kind of breathe through it because there's so much triggers that can come up with just in that question for everybody, right? And so just bearing with everybody. Whew. So I think when it comes to helping people not hurt Indigenous people, when it comes to unschooling or just like even receiving spirituality as well, I think it comes from a space of acknowledging what has happened. That yes, the school system obviously does nothing for anybody, you
Let's
know,
be
but
real.
yeah. But also that schooling system was built to colonize us per se. Yeah. And so as much as people are unschooling, it also comes back to the space of understanding why it was there. And then also be about acknowledging that, taking responsibility for benefiting from that in a sense. Yeah. I was just talking to one of my sisters who's Hawaiian when we were like on the phone call just before I jumped in, and we spoke about, you know, and I hope that this is okay to say, but we were just speaking about what it is to be Indigenous and how hard the system is, you know, and just simple things like my children wearing clothes that maybe are a little bit, we say the word hoary, so if you're Māori, you know what I'm saying. But basically, like they've just kind of have, you know, normal clothes on, but it's like kind of scruffy, you know. Me and her worry about them going outside looking like that, because if they go outside looking like that, we're worried that our biggest fear is that someone's going to call somebody and take them away, you know. Whereas like I've seen my friend who is white passing, which means that she is Indigenous, but she can pass for a white person, right? And so when she has her children in the same clothes, like she's having the time of her life. There's no worries.
It's not even a thought in it's yeah, for us it's the same. My kids never wear shoes, they never wear shirts, and I don't have to think about that stuff because of purely based on this. It's fucked up.
Yeah, and it is, yeah, and you're right. And so we were just talking about that, and I said that's unfair. And you know, so I think moving forward, it's just about acknowledging that just what is going on, the systems that we're in. Even unschooling is a lot easier for non-Indigenous people, even though it shouldn't, you know, even though when I jump in, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my whole culture, like duh. There's a lot easier because we are still in the spaces of like predominantly being in poverty, predominantly like you know, suffering in many different spaces. So the idea of even my people being able to jump into the space is pretty low, right? And so if you are in an unschooling space and you're able to do this, yay, and you are a white person, please help the rest of us get there.
And speak about this. Speak about this in all of your unschooling communities, because I've myself been in communities where I know that if a family was to make this choice for themselves, they would have child services called on them like instantly. And that's the reality for so many families that would want to do this, but purely based on their indigeneity or their socioeconomic status or where they live. It's not even it's not possible.
How wild is that? That even unschooling is a privilege. It's wild. And so I think when it comes to back to the question, because again, oh my gosh, every single topic we go to, I'm like, okay,
Another episode.
how do we do this? But even when it comes to that topic of just, okay, how can we help? Like, how can we make sure we're not hurting Indigenous people? Like, please be about like understanding that even just unschooling, it is a lot easier for that to even be a possibility, just based on the fact that yes, there have been moments in my life where I've gone, oh my gosh, like if they find out, like will my kids get taken, right? And I think that's the first thing that comes to my mind. It wasn't the second, it wasn't the last, it was kind of the only thing. I was very terrified for a long time. And so how do we kind of stop, how do we help, is that we almost like kind of be about like making sure that the system doesn't continue to perpetuate like something like this, to even make it a situation where people are doing that. And so that's why I think the whole system's got to go. That's why I like a whole new earth, like, you know, help. What we need is for white people to help us to dismantle this so that we can do what you can do with a lot more ease. I just want us to have harmony and balance. And the only way that we can do that is that Indigenous people lead this fight, that we lead this work, we kind of put on our boots and we jump ahead and we kind of lead it. but that our white sisters, our white brothers help us dismantle that. I always say that I think I said this on my live just the other day, and oh my gosh, I cried like a baby because, I think the word that I had said was that, it's not about anything else but us having harmony and balance, and that if my white sisters and my white brothers were in the same situation, right? Like if we swapped and you were in my shoes, I would dismantle the system for you, right? I would get up and I would put my boots on and I would say no, right? And I think I could tear up again because I sincerely would do it for you, right? And so although it is hard, that uncomfortable space of like, oh my gosh, my ancestors did this and I don't know how to feel and all the things, I know that as Indigenous people, if we for some reason our color went around and we colonized and the system benefited us a lot more, I know that I would dismantle it for you to make your life easier, to make it possible for you to do unschooling. And so that is kind of my only hope within that space.
Thank you so much for saying that. I hope that a lot of people hear that, and I hope that that message gets spread far and wide, because it's non-negotiable. We have to do that. We're at a point where we have to do that. We're not benefiting from how it's currently working, even though we might think we are. Until there's harmony and unity,
What is this?
nobody's benefiting. And I guess the hard part is redefining that, using our voice, even when it's fucking scary. Even, I don't know, I could go do a whole other episode about this
We will repeat it a couple
topic,
times, like we need
but
another one.
seriously, thank you. Really, thank you so much for speaking to that. And yeah, amplifying Indigenous voices in all spaces is non-negotiable.
Thank you, Amy.
I just feel like I could sit here all day and chat to you about so many other things. We're in a very incredible time on planet Earth right now. And we really have we I guess we always have, but we really are in a time where we can use our power to create something better for future generations, where we can all inhabit an Earth harmoniously. And unschooling is absolutely one way that we can support that happening. And the work starts with us.
Oh my gosh, what a powerful conversation.
I
Oh,
know. So thank you so much for coming and speaking. It's been such an honor to sit with you and hear you. I'm so excited for the rest of the world to hear this conversation. The work you're doing is so powerful, and yeah, just so rooted in authenticity and culture and knowing. So thank you so much, Haley, for joining me on this podcast today.
Amy, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was an honor, truly. Thank you.
And before we go, I saw, I mean, only if you feel comfortable sharing this, you have a beautiful offering for families. Would you like to speak a little bit about that? Because I'm sure a lot of people listening today have really felt something and might want to reach out to you and possibly seek some guidance or work alongside you.
Oh my gosh, Amy, I forgot all about that. I
Lucky I'm here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yes, so I think the current offering that I have that I think is so powerful, and I really think it will be such an aid to everything that was spoken to, especially for our children. So I have an offering called Te Hokinga Mai, which means to return home in my culture. And what that means is that within this space, we will be talking about the ikara. I know that you free birth, my friend. So
Yes.
amazing. Well, I'm not going to get into that, but okay, that's amazing. But within that space, we are talking about the ikara. That's a whole thing. Decolonizing our relationship with the woman, is a big one. Patriarchy is one of the tools used to colonize us. And you take away color for a second, it's woman. Yeah, and so that's why free birthing is this new beautiful but also old beautiful thing that we are starting to reconnect to. So within that space, we are just connecting back to the woman. I know in my culture, gosh, again, another freaking long conversation. Within my culture, the woman is highly regarded. Highly regarded. We used to sit under our woman's legs when we would come after battle to sit in her ikara and her blood to remove all negative energy. We used to have our men sit next to us as we bled just to cleanse. We followed the compass of the ikara, the compass of the blood to just navigate our tribe. We understood that to uplift our tribe was to uplift the woman. And part of the reason why society is oppressed is because women are. So when we were attacked and colonized, they attacked the woman, right? And so that is one of the parts, is to help women to recognize, remember the sacredness, and to understand that if we uplift you, we also help to create a new life. We believe that divine feminine is going to lead this new era.
Fuck yeah.
right. So that's one of the spaces. And then the spirit world, I think it's very important that when you have children that are navigating the spirit world, and all children are doing this, by the way, it is important to teach our children this language. It is like essential. And so within that space, I'm helping women to decolonize their relationship with the spirit world so that they can teach their children. That's my goal. My goal is to not really help you. Right? My goal is to like go, come on, this is the language, this is how we do it. Because a lot of the reason why our children do not speak the language or are not allowed to is because you're scared of the spirit world. And so I would love to help you to decolonize that fear and stop having that. And then the last thing is to reconnect you back to the land. I think again we had spoke a little bit about it in the beginning, but one of the things that they did was to take spirit away from the land and to make us think that there wasn't a spirit in the land, right? So that we violently attacked her when we violently hurt the land, that we didn't think anything was wrong. And so it's important for us to reconnect to the land because that's everything. If you are not connected to the land, you are energy sick. You are a little bit lost, and that's okay. So it's essential. And I will be teaching you elemental work within that space, which is a big thing,
It
right?
sounds incredible. It sounds incredible.
One of my things, one of my goals is to sit in a room with women and just be like, okay, let's have a circle, and here's some weather coming. Let's move that. That's one. To just show you how powerful you are when you realize that you are one with the land that we are on. So that's what it is, my friend. So it's a beautiful offering. I love it so much. And I'm not one to, I do not sell anything. I swear I almost just sit there and go, I hope something works out. I don't care to sell. However, this is more about decolonial work. And I think all people are welcome. I think white people 100% should come because then I can help you to just decolonize within a safe space. And also my Indigenous sisters, of course, please come. And just create harmony and balance. Okay,
Yes.
the
Thank you so much for speaking to that. If that lands
end.
with you, you can find Hayley at, is it Hayley Tialicia? Sorry, I mispronounced your last name after because
Beautiful.
the word intuitive is on the end and I'm reading all of the letters together. Could you say your Instagram handle?
Okay, my Instagram is Hayley Tialisa Intuitive. I need to change that, but I'm too tired.
That's
But
okay.
please come, my friends. That's my Instagram. And yeah, I really hope that the content that you see is helpful. That is my intention. I really just want to help everybody be more themselves and reconnect to themselves. And that's just the intention of it all. So thank you, Amy, for letting me remember that I have offerings.
We're here to support each other.
Thank
But yeah, thank you so much for joining me. It's been powerful.
Wow. What an incredible conversation. That was
Such an honor to chat with Hayley Tialisa. I am so lit up and so inspired, and I'm sure you are too. Please follow her work. If you resonate with anything that she said, she has so much incredible wisdom to share with the world. If you'd like to keep up to date with future episodes of the School Free Life podcast, you can follow us on all major streaming platforms, or you can tune in via our Instagram at the.school.free.life. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I can't wait to share future episodes with you soon.